Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 30th of August, 2024. Eric Pfeiffer and Sabrina Halverson coming up on the news today, including another record trade deficit expected next year, in large part because of low commodity prices. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit ffbt.com to learn more or stop by your local branch to talk about your ag operation today. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says more humidity and some rain chances come in starting today. And Thursday, grains and oil seeds, a nice rally. We have numbers and Mike Silver market analysis on the HAT Friday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
USDA calling for another record trade deficit year in 25. And what members of Congress are trying to do to fix it. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, reporting on the latest news in agriculture on Hoosier Ag Today.
A lot of this is tied to falling commodity prices.
That's USDA Chief Economist Seth Meyer on the chief reason why USDA is projecting a record trade deficit next year after having just set that record here in 2024. Though it's not just sharply declining commodity prices, other factors at play.
A slower Chinese economy, continued strength of the U.S. dollar, China diversifying its sources for trade, perhaps a little bit weaker on export competitiveness for ourselves.
All of this is leading to a bigger trade deficit despite rising exports.
$4 billion into $169.5 billion for exports. An increase of $8 billion on imports to a total of $212 billion for fiscal year 25, which means a rising trade deficit of $42.5 billion forecast for fiscal year 25.
This USDA forecast comes amid declining economic conditions in farm country, compounded by the lack of a farm bill. It also follows an intense policy debate over the value of free trade deals that the administration has completely moved away from, but both parties' lawmakers argue are a must to open export markets. More on that in just a moment.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
A congressional caucus continues working to improve trade for U.S. agriculture. Sabrina Halverson has an update on the progress.
The bipartisan Congressional Agricultural Trade Caucus launched earlier this year and works to solidify support for trade policies that benefit all those along the food and agricultural supply chains. Co-chair Nebraska Representative Adrian Smith highlights the work of the caucus.
We have been promoting, you know, the aspects of why trade is important. I think sometimes U.S. agriculture is taken for granted in terms of the overall trade agenda. So we want to make sure that stakeholders hear from us and that we have good interaction, good conversations of saying, okay, here's what particular trade policy means ultimately to producers and to consumers as well.
The caucus recently sent a letter to the ambassador of Colombia to the United States expressing concerns regarding investigation into U.S. exports of powdered milk products.
We export about 15% of our dairy. We have very efficient production. I think we want to look at opportunities to increase that number. Other countries get very protective. Canada is a prime example that they get very protective of their own dairy production. So we're going to have to, I think, engage more, though, to explain with other countries and to other countries that, you know, opening this up is good for their consumers, good for their industry, and we can benefit from that as well.
Smith is one of four co-chairs for the caucus. The others are California Democrats Jimmy Panetta and Jim Costa, and South Dakota Republican Dusty Johnson. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. Download the mobile app for more farm news. Just search Hoosier Ag Today in your app store. We are Indiana's farm network, Hoosier Ag Today.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmer stories at fcma.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Hey farmers, do you want to see weeding tools before you buy them? Learn how to adjust cultivators and see what's new in weeding tools? Then make plans today to attend the Midwest Weed Control Field Day, September 11th at Purdue's Miggs Horticultural Research Farm in Lafayette, Indiana. Enjoy weeding tool demos of all scales, a morning trade show, and cultivation education for vegetables and row crops. Register online early to guarantee your spot and lunch. Search Midwest Mechanical at thelandconnection.org. That's thelandconnection.org.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Taking a look at your Friday outlook. We're looking at a frontal boundary trying to get close to us, but this front is slowing. It does not look like it's going to have its biggest impact today, but rather overnight tonight through tomorrow. Now, that doesn't mean I'm ruling out moisture today. I think with the heat and humidity, once again, we can see some pop-up activity later this afternoon and evening, but it's not going to be widespread. Probably only about 20 to 30% of the state sees activity yet this afternoon into the evening hours. Now, overnight tonight, the front starts to work through the state. We see good activation of shower and thunderstorm activity through the day tomorrow. As a matter of fact, central and southern Indiana, I think we're going to have to deal with rain all the way through sunset tomorrow before it finally dissipates. And that means we're still on track to pick up anywhere from a quarter to maybe 1.5 inches of rain, depending on where you're at and depending on strong thunderstorm activity. We're just pushing this front back about 12 to 24 hours here across the region. We're still looking at very nice weather behind the front. Humidity values drop for Sunday. Temperatures are going to be pleasant. Monday, Labor Day, we actually start cool with a Canadian high pressure dome settling in over Wisconsin. It's not brutally cold or anything like that, but nice to start the Labor Day holiday. Low humidity through the day. Very pleasant there. High pressure slowly meanders to the east over the next few days, so we keep the pleasant weather around through Tuesday and Wednesday. South flow starts to raise temperatures and humidity next Thursday and Friday, but no significant moisture here. I think our next moisture potential is going to be likely next Sunday, the 8th, where we can see showers and thunderstorms with the front sagging through. Quarter to three quarters of an inch out of that coverage around 75% of the state. So a nice dry period here, but this time we're going to be doing it without the extreme heat that we saw earlier this week, and humidity values stay down just a little bit for next week. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig. The markets go higher. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review.
And we'll have settlements from a solid day coming up. But first, market analysis from Mike Silver of Kokomo Grain. I spoke with him near the end of trade. Mike, on Thursday, a stronger U.S. dollar index. However, we saw some strength in markets like crude oil, the stock market, wheat finally followed corn and soybeans higher and turned in a pretty robust day. Also, soybeans. This is not just a minor turnaround, pretty solid rally. Tell us why.
Well, we had some really good export sales number, especially in the new crop, the 24-25, the crop that we're going to start harvesting. Well, we've already started the harvest here in Indiana. Some corn is being harvested in parts of the state, and there are some soybeans even here locally that have already been harvested. I don't have any yield reports for you today, but in our conversations with folks, there are going to be some more folks in the field next week following the Labor Day holiday and right on into September and obviously our regular harvest season. But back to the export numbers, 15.3 thousand tons of the 23-24 crop reported today. That's not a good number, really, but considering net cancellations were forecast between 100 and 200 thousand tons, that's okay. But the real support came from the 1.494 million metric tons of new crop corn that was reported, and that's up from last week's 1.291. So certainly the new crop corn export sales, good, very good, better than expectations, and they are improving, so that's good too. In the soybeans, we did have net cancellations of 143,000 tons. Last week we had net cancellations of 43,000 tons. Again, that was in the 23-24 crop. In the crop that we already have started harvesting now, the new crop 24-25 export sales were 2.615 million tons, and that's up from last week's 1.676 million tons. We had 532,000 tons of wheat inspections, or excuse me, of wheat export sales this week, and that's up from last week's 492,000 tons. So export sales numbers today were supportive, and of course, we are at the end of the marketing year as far as corn and soybeans are concerned, August 31st being the end of the marketing year. So we'll see in next week's reports the finish up here of the crop year. Today we did also get the fourth day in a series of daily flash export sales, so that too is supportive. But the other thing that's obviously underplay, as you mentioned, crude oil is up $1.16 a barrel, so that's friendly to the market. The dollar index is a little higher. That's not necessarily indicative of foreign countries wanting to buy. But when we get to the fact that these prices, we are at the tomorrow is first notice day for September futures. So and we have a 3-day Labor Day weekend ahead of us. So some of today's strength is obviously from the technical side of the market as we sense some short covering here of positions. It's month end, so the managed money wants to show its clients, you know, some profits. So and they still are overall very short to market. There's no question about that. But sense some short covering today in the market. I also want to remind folks that as I said, tomorrow is first notice day, so we have already seen and will continue to see nearby corn basis values roll to the December futures price reference. And there are various locations across the state that are already have their cash prices against December futures. So December is going to take the lead step here before long. And as we finish up the September, so keep that in mind. And of course, for folks here in Indiana, we have the state law that mandates the pricing of DP by the end of the crop year. And That means that tomorrow, folks that still have DP, if they've not been proactive in getting that priced, it will be priced tomorrow on the close. So that's going on. I mentioned that, let me go back to the export sales just a little bit. For the current marketing year, we are on pace right now to meet the export USDA export projections in the balance tables for this old crop. And we'll start keeping track more so now of the new crop and our target there versus what our performance is on a weekly basis. We still lag the soybeans. Soybeans still lag, although with the export sales numbers in the new crop right now, we're gaining a little steam, but we still have a lot to go to make the balance sheet projections for the new crop, the 24-25. Now, on September the 12th, we will get USDA's latest crop production numbers, and they will have had boots in the field here as we cross now over into September, and they'll be actually doing ear weights and ear counts and that type of thing. And everything thus far, the August report obviously was mostly statistical and adjustments to trend and indexed models versus crop conditions. And that will continue. But we basically, in a lot of areas, have put or are about to put the finish on the yield determination period for corn and soybeans. There are some areas here the last couple of weeks with the heat, and we've seen a little bit of decline in crop conditions, and we'll probably continue to see decline in crop conditions now on a weekly basis, simply because of the maturity stage of the corn in our corn and soybeans, for that matter. This weekend and going into tomorrow, it's going to depend on what we end up with as far as weather. And I know here in the last 24 to 48 hours, there have been some various areas of the state of Indiana that have received not substantial rainfall, but certainly in some areas much needed rainfall, including here in West Central Indiana. And it looks like in the weather forecast, there's still some chances for precipitation. So, Andy, it looks like here at the close, we're going to end up in the green, which is a good thing. The price levels still aren't at the levels that most folks would like, including me. But it looks like Mother Nature has done us a favor this year in providing what looks like is going to be excellent corn and soybean yields, not only here in Indiana, but across the United States, as was substantiated in last week's Pro Farmer Tour results. That's old news now, but basically they confirmed what USDA said in August, that we should have very good yields, records in many areas and many states in both corn and soybeans. All we need to do now is just have a real safe and productive harvest season. And as I said earlier, it's upon us, and it's going to start accelerating now at breakneck speed as corn and soybeans come to maturity.
Thoughts from Mike Silver at Kokomo Grain. Mike's number, 800-666-0613. On the Hat Thursday Market Review, everything up. The numbers, September corn, 371 3/4, up 6.5 cents. Dece up a nickel and a quarter, 396. March up 4.25 at 414. November beans, 992.5. Picking up 15.5, January 10.08 3/4, up 14.25, and December wheat 5.48 3/4, up 7.25. October live cattle 177.90, down 72, and October lean hogs a gain of $0.5, 82.17. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.